Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
You have your Bible? All right, hold it up. Let's make our confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life gets stronger and stronger. Can we thank the Lord for the Word? Come on, let's thank the Lord for the Word. Thank you, God. Amen. Well, open your Bible today to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, if you would, Exodus chapter 20. And we've been talking about legacy. We've defined legacy, what legacy is, how to find your legacy, discover your legacy. The big idea of this whole series is legacy is this. It's following Jesus and finding His will for your life and fulfilling it. If we follow Jesus and discover His will and destiny, Pastor Kim was talking about destiny. If we follow Jesus and follow His will and fulfill our destiny, we will leave a legacy, an impact. You and me, we do not want to waste our life. We do not want to look back. You might want to write this down. People regret over their past. They're anxious over their present. And they're fearful over their future. They're regretting their past. They're anxious over today. And they're afraid of their future. Generation Z, that's everybody born in 1995 and after. That's Generation Z. They're labeled the most hopeless generation of America. Hopeless. Generation Z. If you were born 95 and after, you're Generation Z, and you've been labeled as the most hopeless generation in the history of America. So many people are wasting their life. So many people have given up on life. So many people are sabotaging their own life. And so that's why we've been talking about legacy, because God didn't put you here without a purpose. And when you follow, the big idea, what you want to walk away with this whole series is find Christ, follow Christ, give your life to Him. Until I totally submitted to Him, I was empty on the inside. Until I finally surrendered, and God is asking of me and you more surrender. God is asking of you and me in 2023, more surrender. God is asking of you and me for 2023, more surrender. And so, you know, when we surrender our life to Him, and then we seek to know His will, and then we spend our life doing His will, we leave a legacy. You might want to write this down. Acts 13:36. Acts 13:36. It says, David, King David, served God's purpose in his generation. King David served God's purpose for his generation. Now, you know, and you heard the bishop talk about last week, how God is tri-generational. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's tri-generational. He's three generations. So a healthy church like ours, we should be tri-generational. We should be ministering to three generations, not just, you know, you go to some churches and all they have is 30-year-olds on the platform, 30-year-olds in all the ministry. We're for that, but not just that. There should be 40-years and 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds, 80-year-old people serving the Lord, right? If you're really biblical, you should be a generational, three-generational church. The bishop talked about that last weekend. So we want to pick up on that today And I want to just share a bunch of scriptures with you on the importance of generations and importance that you and I have affecting the next generation. Is that okay? And then some takeaways. What do we do? All right? So let's look at Exodus 20 and verse 5 and verse 6. We're talking about leaving a legacy of faith. I gave you the story in the series how when my father passed away at age 56, way too young, he didn't leave me any money or material things, but he left me an example of faith. So the whole idea is not what you leave for people, it's what you leave in people. And we're talking about leaving a legacy of faith. That's the most important thing that you and I know. We're to leave an inheritance to our children's children. We understand that. We're not against that. But the most important, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them or serve other gods, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the what? Third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So notice that what I'm doing will affect three generations. Three generations. Isn't that powerful to realize that your life is so powerful, your life has impact on those that are yet unborn? The Bible declares that. The Bible talks about that in the book of Psalm, that what we're doing is affecting generations yet to be born, your children's children. I really believe that I'm here today because of my grandmother, Grandma Blunt. I believe I'm here because of her. They told me that when I was a little baby, they had a small farm in southern Iowa. She would carry me around in her arms, praying in tongues over my life. She was old Pentecostal, praying in tongues. I'm a baby. She's holding me in her arms, walking around the farm. I believe I'm here because of her, two generations ago. So notice that the negative thing is that the sin, the iniquity, now iniquity is a sin that becomes a habit. A sin that becomes a habit. So our bad habits, if we don't conquer them, we pass them on down to the next generation. And the really yucky thing about this is each generation, it gets stronger. Each generation is called the law of compound effect. So what you don't defeat, and I don't defeat, our children's children will have to tackle, but it'll be stronger upon them than it was us. The law of compound effect. Now, this is the negative. I want to look at the positive. All right? Verse 6. Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So there's generational curses and there's generational blessings. So generational curses are passed down to the next generation, as well as generational blessings. And we want to focus on that. So the law of compound effect, that means if weaknesses get stronger, then strengths get stronger in my children and my children's children. That's awesome. So the importance of legacy, the importance of our life, the importance of what we do, the importance of our habits, the importance of our priorities. Oh my goodness, we're not here as a mistake. I don't care what your parents might have said. You were here on purpose. Next verses, guys. Judges 2, verse 6. Now here, I want to bring out a generation, parents, that didn't teach their children the word of God. We're getting ready to launch in our lobby. It's called Parents Corner. Parents Corner in our lobby. We're going to have every resource you can imagine to help you build a strong family, a strong marriage, and a strong home. It's going to be awesome. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. Verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Verse 8. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, he died in that generation, being 110 years old. Verse 9. They buried him in the border of his inheritance on the north side of the hill Gaash. Verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation. Everybody say, another generation. There arose another generation after them who knew not the Lord. For God so loved the world, he gave his only. But a lot of parents have made it his forgotten son. For God so loved the world. Christmas is all about, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten. But parents not doing their responsibility of leaving a legacy of faith to their children's children are raising up a generation that has the forgotten son of God. So another generation arose after them who didn't know the Lord, nor yet which the works which he had done for Israel, didn't know or hear about God, his principles, or the stories of faith. Verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served Balaam. So we are responsible for the next generation. We are responsible to follow Christ, right? And to find his will for our life and fulfill it. That's called destiny. And that's the best legacy that we can leave to our children's children. Next, guys, verse 12. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods. Whose responsibility was that? The parents, that generation, the elders. They stopped teaching. They stopped passing down. They stopped creating an environment for their children's children to know God. So they did evil. They forsook the Lord. It wasn't the only begotten. It was the forgotten son of God, which brought them out of the land of Egypt. Let's go back to verse 12. Brought them out of the land of Egypt and followed other gods of the people that were round about them. They compromised. They gave in to the culture. They bowed down unto them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. Verse 13. And they forsook the Lord. Why? Because the previous generation didn't leave a legacy of faith, and they served Baal. Next, guys. Next. Verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them to the hands of their enemies and about, so they could not any longer stand before their enemies. It was their choice. Choose God or not. All right, next, guys, next scripture, verse 15. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly discouraged, defeated, and distressed. Why? Because the previous generation didn't teach them. The word didn't teach them. The principles didn't share with them the stories of a mighty God. Whoa, legacy. How important is it? What we do or don't do affects the next generation. Verse 16, or the next verse, guys, that's where we're going next. All right, Psalm 78. O my people, listen to my teaching. Open your ears to what I'm saying. Verse 2. For I will show you lessons. Everyone say lessons from our history. We are to pass down to the next generation lessons of the life of faith that we're living. For I will show you lessons. We're looking for teaching moments for our children, our children's children, and our friends. For I will show you lessons from our history. Verse 3. Stories handed down to us from former generations. John Osteen used to always tell me, never stop telling your testimony. And if you ever listen to John Osteen, you always hear him talking about, seriously, at least once a month, I was on my way home from a nightclub and a popcorn salesman, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and he got born again. John Osteen used to always tell me, always pass down your testimony to the next generation of what you were like before you found God, how you found God, and how that changed your life. Stories handed down to us from former generations. Verse 4, I will reveal these truths to you so that you can describe the glorious deeds of Jehovah to your children and tell them about the mighty miracles he did. Oh, I like it. The mighty miracles he did. My series for next weekend, for the whole month of December, is this. It's a season for miracles. A season for miracles. The whole month of December, we're teaching on miracles. Oh, tell your children about the glorious deeds of Jehovah and about the mighty miracles he did for you. Verse 5. For he gave his laws to Israel and commanded our fathers. He commanded our fathers to teach them to their children. So the role of a father is to teach their children, his children, the word of God, share stories, pass down miracles that God has done in their life. That's called legacy. It's called the legacy of faith. Next, guys, next verse. So that they, in turn, will teach their children. Y'all see three generations there? Fathers tell your children so your children can tell their children. So what the fathers were doing or not doing was affecting the unborn. Wow. To come. So they in turn could teach their children. Thus his laws passed down from generation to generation. How cool is that? How privileged we are. How awesome it is to serve a mighty God. How good it is, right? To taste and see that the Lord is good, right? Verse 7. I wasn't going to eat any pumpkin pie. I wasn't going to have no pumpkin pie. I said, I'm not having no pumpkin pie. And Pastor Kim said, oh, you got to try this pumpkin pie. It's so good. It tastes so good. Oh, taste and see. The pumpkin pie is good. And guess what? The pumpkin pie is gone in the Blunt House. You got to share with people how good God is. How great God is, how awesome God is, how loving, how kind, how merciful, how awesome. In this way, each generation has been able to obey the word. And look at this, and set their hope. If the Generation Z, from 1995 to now, that's the Generation Z, is labeled the most hopeless generation in the history of America, don't you think we need to share with them the God that can give them hope? The God that has a future for them, a plan for them, a purpose for them that's bigger than them. In this way, each generation has been able to obey his laws and to set its hope anew on God and not forget, never forget, never forget his glorious miracles. Never forget his glorious miracles. It is his only begotten son, not to be his forgotten son. We're to constantly be talking about the goodness of God, the miracle working power of God, how God took you through, how God was there for you, how God never left you, how God is for you. That's our mantra at Church on the Rock. God is for you. Come on, somebody, let's have a praise break. Come on, y'all can do better than that. Thus, they did not need to be as their fathers were, stubborn, rebellious, unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. Oh my goodness. The foundation for faith for the family is not the church. It's not our children's ministry's job to build a foundation for your family and create a legacy of faith. The foundation for faith for a family is your home. Oh, see how quiet it's getting? It's your home. It's your home. It starts in the home. It starts with a parent. Amen. All right, so the foundation for faith for our family is the home. Parents' responsibility is to not let their kids forget, or grandkids forget, God. He's the begotten Son of God. He's not to be the forgotten Son of God. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. See how important it is that we leave a legacy of faith to our children and our children's children, because we can't serve God or live for God without faith. We have to share with them what faith is, how faith comes, what faith looks like, how important faith is, and that faith grows. Notice you go from faith to faith, from faith to faith, that we're lifelong learners, that we never stop growing, that we never stop learning. Come on, somebody. That is from faith to faith. And the just will live by faith. So faith to grow needs, number one, an example. For faith to be caught, there's more caught than taught. For faith to be caught, you need an example. It's called the law of being a contagious spirit, right? The law of association. Our children and our children's children need an example. Your friends need an example of what faith looks like. That's what legacy is all about. So for me to catch faith, to even want a life of faith, I need an example in my life. For me, it was my father. It was my mother. They were the example in my life. It wasn't a preacher. Wasn't a pope. It wasn't a bishop. It was my parents. They were the example. And not only did they teach it, but I caught it. I caught it. Were they perfect? No. Did they have it all together? No. But they had that example of faith. So for faith to be caught and faith to grow, it has to have an example. Number two, it has to have the right environment. Has to have the right environment. For anything to grow, it has to have the right environment. So for faith to grow, it has to have example. It has to have environment. And number three, it has to have an everyday process. It's called the one-year Bible. You thought I forgot. It's called the one-year Bible. And that's just a little thing because my habits are what I do consistently. Am I right? My habits are what I do consistently. What I do consistently becomes a habit, and my habits form my character. My habits form my character. So if you want to change a character, change habits. My habits form my character, okay? So I need a process. I need an example. I need an environment, and I need an everyday process to leave a life of legacy. Now, what does faith look like? I grew up in the church, heard a lot of teaching and preaching about faith, but no one really explained it to me what faith looks like. Faith is, number one, believing when you don't see it. Faith is believing when you don't see it. Well, if you can see it, then it doesn't take faith. Faith is believing. We have to pass this down. This is that legacy to the... Remember, a curse can be passed down or a blessing can be passed down. Weaknesses can be passed down or strengths can be passed down. What a role we have as Christians, as believers, as Christ followers. What a privilege we have. So faith is believing when you don't see it. Now, I know we live in the show me state. That doesn't work in faith, okay? Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So hope is the target. You have to have hope. Remember, people are regretting over their past. They wasted their life. Or they're anxious over the present. They're worried they can't enjoy life. Or they're afraid of their future. You and I don't want to be a part of those three. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things you can't see. You can't see. Number two, what does faith look like? Faith is obeying when you don't understand it. Faith is obeying when you don't understand it. I can't really fulfill the legacy God has for me through logic. That's powerful. You know, when Kim and I got out of Bible college, I said, God, you know, I want to go to California. I want to go here. I want to go to Texas. Seriously, stay in Texas, whatever. And guess where we ended up? Missouri. And we love it. We wouldn't be here 40 years if we didn't love it, okay? But we didn't understand it. We had no idea. Leave our denomination and go non-denominational. We didn't understand that. Our friends leaving us, or deserting us, we didn't understand that. So faith is obeying when you don't understand. Stand it. We're not to lean to our... Whoa. So scripture for that is Hebrews 11, verse 8. The father of our faith, as the team comes out. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, and how many of you know everybody in this room, everybody online, you all have a calling, right? By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. Notice there's an inheritance within your calling. He obeyed. Now, the bishop told you last week, and I've told you for 40 years, you know, Abraham was Abram, and he was a pagan, and his family worshiped the moon god. He was original moony. Some of you know what I'm talking about back in the airports of the 70s and the 80s, okay? All right? But by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place he'd never been before, he obeyed, not understanding. He obeyed, he went going, not knowing. He went going, not knowing. We said next year, we don't really know what next year holds, 2023. We're hearing all kinds of predictions. You're going to lose it all. You're going to lose everything. A food shortage, gas prices going up, utilities going up. You're going to lose your life savings. You're going to lose your mutual fund. We're hearing all this stuff, and we don't really know if they know what they're talking about. So how do you prepare for that? You prepare for the future by putting God first today. Because then he'll never leave you or forsake you or fail you, and he'll show you where, when, how, and what ahead of time, okay? You may not understand when he tells you to do something, but obey even when you don't understand. You got to pass that on down to your children and your children's children, okay? So that's number two. Number three, what's faith look like? Faith is keeping on when you feel like giving up. We can't be raising wimps. We can't be raising whiny babies. We can't have a generation that doesn't understand hard work, work ethic, sacrifice. Come on, somebody. It's sacrifice. There's a price. There's a sacrifice. There's a suffering. There's bullies. Things won't go your way. People have called you names. They've called me names. They've lied about you. They've lied about me. They misunderstood you. They misunderstood me. They make fun of us, right? But faith is keeping on when you feel like giving up. If you give up every time when life gets tough, it's going to be a tough life. It really is. So faith is keeping on when you feel like giving up. Pastor, have you ever felt like giving up? Let me count the ways. Come on, we've all been there. Can I have a witness in the house? Okay? So Hebrews 11:27, motivated by faith, he left Egypt. He left what was behind. He left what was behind. Some of you today need to leave what's behind. Stop living in regret. Give it to God and move on. Right? So he left behind, being unawed and undismayed by the wrath of the king. Wasn't moved by the king. He never flinched, but held staunchly to his purpose, his destiny, his legacy. Your purpose is tied up in your legacy. Your legacy is your destiny. He never flinched, but held staunchly to his purpose, endured steadfastly when he gazed upon him who was invisible, keeping your eyes on him. Remember I told you how to have the best Christmas you've ever had? It's not the presents under the tree. It's focused on the presence of the Lord. Moses had his eye on God he couldn't see. And that was enough for him to get him through every season of his life. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, and 40 years leading a rebellious group of people. And he made it, right? And he was called the greatest leader that ever lived in the Old Testament. All right, so you don't quit when you feel like quitting. Number four, faith doesn't focus on the facts when they contradict the Bible. Faith doesn't focus on the facts when they contradict the Bible. You and I deal with circumstances every day that contradict what God says. Every day, come on, let's be honest, we lie, we fry. You and I have circumstances in our life right now that totally contradict the promises of God. We can either give in to the pressure or stand on the promise. Give in to the pressure or stand on the promise. Give in to the pressure or stand on the promise. Give in to the pressure or stand on the promise. Faith doesn't focus on the facts when they contradict the Bible. What did the doctor say? We thank God for doctors. We need doctors. We have doctors. But whose report are we going to believe? Right? We're going to believe the report of the Lord. Right? Okay. Scripture for that on the screen, guys. For we walk by faith and not by how we feel. Number five. Last point. What does faith look like? Number five. I believe, guys. Okay. Number four. That was it. So let me end with this. Motivation to live a legacy of faith. Motivation to leave a legacy. Why should I do this, Pastor? Why wouldn't you? No one wants to waste their life. No one wants to be known for a loser and a failure and a no good thing. No one knows. Why wouldn't we want to live the life that God has for us? Why wouldn't we want to live the best life, the life we were created to live? Why wouldn't we want to do that? Why wouldn't we want to put forth the effort and the hard work and put forth the discipline to leave the example, the environment, and an everyday process to our children's children? Why wouldn't we want to do that? Motivation to leave a legacy of faith. Let's run through it real quick, guys. 2 Peter chapter 3. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Here's our motivation now, to live a life on purpose, to discover our purpose, to surrender our life. The big idea, follow Jesus, find his will, and fulfill it. Like David, serve God's purpose in your generation. Can't get any better than that. But as long-suffering to usward, not willing that anybody goes to hell. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and he is coming back, and it is very soon, okay? That should motivate us. You talk about, you know, temperature rising. We talk about heat. I want to tell you something. The world, as we know it, is going to burn up. It's going to burn up. It's going to be reset through fire. Look at this. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the heavens and the earth. Also, the works that are in the earth shall all be burnt up. The future of the planet Earth is going to be burnt up, okay? Because there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 11, seeing that all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person should I be? How should I live? What kind of life should I live? What should I leave behind me? What should I pass on? Knowing the future, knowing that Christ is coming back, knowing that this earth and the heaven is going to be dissolved, and there's going to be a hereafter and a life after this life. Knowing all that, what kind of a person should I be? I should be a person that lives life on purpose and leaves a legacy of faith to the next generation. Verse 12, looking for, hastening to the coming of the day of the Lord. We should be looking and we should be quickening his return. We do it by bringing in the harvest, by inviting people to the lighting of the Christmas tree, by inviting people to church, wherein the heavens will be on fire, they'll be dissolved, and the elements shall melt in fervent heat. This is the future. Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, we look for a new heaven and a new earth where we will dwell forever. This is our motivation, the hereafter. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, we should be looking, we should be hastening, we should be living as the kind of person we should be. This should change us. This should change our habits. This should change our priorities. This should change how we spend our time and our money. When you realize that we see the end from the beginning, that we are eternity minded. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, look at this, take away. What should I be doing, Pastor? Number one, be diligent. Be diligent. Be diligent. What does that mean? Get to work, hard work ethic, get after it, sacrifice, suffer, serve, seek, be diligent. Not a time to be lazy, not a time to sit back, not a time to do nothing. We need to be diligent. Next, guys, let's go back. Be aware. We're to be aware. So we're to be diligent and we're to be aware. And the third thing, takeaway, is to live with heaven in mind. To live with heaven in mind. So be diligent. We've got to get after it. Got to win souls. We've got to make disciples. We got to reach the unreached. We got to lead people to a God is for them, help them discover his purpose for their life like never before. We got to be aware of the time that we live in. We got to be aware, and we're aware, we care, right? And then number three, live with heaven in mind. Did you know that God is a happy God? Did you know that Jesus is a happy Jesus? You know, I say that because years ago, a book came out about the humor of Christ. It's called The Humor of Christ. And half of the church world got mad because they couldn't see Christ as happy. Have you ever noticed most pictures of Jesus, there's never a smile? That's inaccurate because he's a happy God and a happy Jesus. How do you know that, Dave? How do you know that, Pastor? How do you know that, brother? How do you know it? Because he said in John 15, enter into my joy. And joy is another word for happiness. The blessed God, another word for blessed is happy. God is a happy God. Jesus is a happy Jesus. And heaven is the happiest place you will ever know. It's the happiest place you ever know. The parable of the talents. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the eternal happiness. Did you know that? parable of talents. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter now into eternal, it says it in the King James, eternal happiness. Heaven is the most happiest place you will ever know. And when we follow Christ and fulfill his will and leave a legacy, that's your future. I'm out of time. Did y'all get something today from the word? Come on, let's thank God. He's a good God. He's a happy God. He's a happy Jesus. And he wants you to know your future is a place called heaven. It's the happiest place ever created. In Jesus' name. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? You say, Pastor, online, you say, Pastor, I'm not right with God. Pastor, my priorities, my life, the way I've been living. Pastor, maybe all that you've been through, you need to reset. You need to adjust. You need to repent. Whatever it is, for the first time, a rededication, this is between you and the Lord. But if that's you online, punch the button on the screen right now. You've got to make the choice. You've got to make the decision. You have a purpose. You have a legacy. You're here on purpose. Don't waste your life. Don't ruin your life. Don't sabotage your life. Why would anybody want to do that? In this room, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's going to come to you. You say, Pastor, I'm not right with God. I've got to be honest. And here this Thanksgiving weekend, I want to get right with God. I know there's some issues. I know there's some things that I need to resolve. I need to give God my past, my present, and my future. I need to make some changes on purpose, for my purpose. I don't want to waste my life, Pastor. I want to make it count. I need to repent or rededicate my life to God today. I'm going to do it. Pastor, pray for me. Right there where you're at, just lift your hand up high. Wave it at me. Just wave it at me right now. Nobody's going to come to you, but you've got to make, God bless you, you've got to make the decision. Just put your hand up high. Christians are praying under their breath. Put your hand right back down. Okay, let's all pray this prayer. Everybody here, everybody online, say it with me. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, died for me, and he rose again. Jesus, come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. I dedicate my life. I surrender my life. I commit my life a brand new to you for 2023. Take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you look up and give God the best praise you can? Amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.